What is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show, brought to you on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. My name is Joe Miller, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at Joe Miller Wire, alongside both of my co-hosts for this year's wonderful show, former Buffalo Bills players Jerry Ostrowski and John Fina. It's good to have you guys. Please do us a favor. Please like, please subscribe. Whatever platform you are consuming this vidcast or podcast on, please do us a favor. Like it and subscribe. We're trying to, as Jerry says, get our numbers up all across the board. But if you could do that for us, that would be great. And I haven't said it in a while. So, Jerry, I'm going to say it for you. Whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, at the gym with your AirPods in, on the drive to work, or watching us right now, let us just say one more time, welcome. Cracking a beer.
Ooh, cracking a beer. I'm cracking a bourbon.
Jerry, and I've got a water bottle.
I got a rock.
How Jerry. Are you, Jerry O? How you doing?
Yes. I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. You know why I'm doing great? Because I took my kids to camp today for a week.
Ooh.
My wife and I have solitude for 1 week. It's Whoa. 1 week a year. We have complete peace. It's wonderful.
You find yourselves like crossing in the hall. She looks up and she's like, who the hell are you?
That's funny.
You know, what's crazy is the kids are gone and we actually gives us a reason to separate in separate ends of the house and never see each other for like 7 days. Even more so than normal. That's great.
The truest love of all.
Yes. We could probably all come up with songs to sing for this situation. But alas, we have a show to do. We are going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks, a three-part series, if you will, starting with this episode on the divisions of the AFC, the North, South, and the West. Just kind of previewing what's going to happen as the Bills play a member of each of those divisions. But before we get to that, Jerry Ostrowski has an announcement that he would like to make.
Drum roll, please.
The other day on X or Twitter, as some call it, I made an announcement. We have some big news coming up. And the big news is this. We're now the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network, powered by the Believe Network. Yes, folks, we have joined the Believe National Network. And why have we done that? You'll still be able to go to Overreaction, get all of our content, get our videos, get our podcasts. But by teaming up with Believe, we now will have a bigger footprint, a bigger national reach, so to speak. It'll give John and I and Joe some options as far as doing some other shows, some national shows. Also, maybe do some Believe television. So there's a lot of opportunity for us here at Overreaction Buffalo. We're excited. So now we will be, it's kind of like Prince, right? We will now, instead of being the artist formerly known as Prince, we will be the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network, powered by Believe. From here on out, like I said, you'll still be able to catch us on all the places that you have, but it'll give us a chance to reach more people nationally. And we're really, really excited about it.
More Bills fans who have not yet discovered us. Exactly. We can go to them this way.
Yeah, for sure. And just so everybody knows, it doesn't change anything as far as RSS feeds. It doesn't change anything as where you find us. Our YouTube page is still going to be the same. If you're subscribed to our podcasts, the RSS feed there, all of that's going to remain the same. Nothing is going to change outside of us just being affiliated and them distributing all of our content. And again, giving us a more opportunity to reach more people. Scott Blakely has
Speaking of reaching people, Scott's just right out of the gate. The CD Lamb to Buffalo article is all BS, right? No way being parting with the two number ones and number two and a fifth. Plus we're broke. I'll pick that one. I would love to see CeeDee Lamb go somewhere else. Although I've always loved Dak Prescott. I think without CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott is like Jake Browning.
Well, I think CeeDee Lamb stays in Dallas because everything that I've seen recently is Dak Prescott possibly going to Pittsburgh and being their long-term solution in Pittsburgh, a franchise that is not, you know, yes, they had Roethlisberger, but even so, you know, they rely more on defense, running the football, ball control, those types of things. Maybe Dak fits in better there. So I've seen that as well. I don't see them letting CD go in Dallas. I mean, that's Jerry Jones's guy.
100%, Jerry. Totally agree with you. I just thought it was kind of funny to call out Dak Prescott a little bit without a superior weapon like CeeDee Lamb. But he'll have to stay in Dallas. If they let a guy like that go, I mean, they might as well just cash in their chips and be like, we're putting everything on silver. How's that going to go?
Well, I also did see an article today that the head coach is absolutely sick and tired of Jerry Jones meddling and everything. So who knows what's going to happen. But
Mike McCarthy
heard, I think the best part of this comment, this super chat from Scott Blakely, and thank you, Scott, is the very, very end. As they always say, romance without finance is a damn nuisance, and the Bills are broke.
So, you know,
have to go Dutch on that one. Someone else has got to pay 50%.
Exactly.
I know that I was in New York City last week, and I know that it was a busy weekend. I didn't see the rumors of CeeDee Lamb going to Buffalo, and I definitely didn't see the rumors of Dak going to Pittsburgh. So there's somebody out there saying that Dak Prescott is going to go to Pittsburgh after they went and got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
Well, I think, well, I don't know if you saw, they're talking about Fields returning kicks.
Yes, I saw that.
Almost like they're trying to set it up as, yeah, you're going to be the backup, but until then, you're going to earn some money making plays on offense because you're an incredible athlete. I don't know how long that lasts. I don't know how long Russell Wilson lasts. I mean, he's kind of like, it's an Animal House when Niedermeyer was killed by his own men and his own troop, right? I mean, I eventually he wears his welcome out.
I'm going to tell you what's going on here. It's dead time, right? We're manufacturing topics to talk about. Some guy out there took some peyote, had a dream, and woke up and thinking CeeDee Lamb is off to the races or Dak Prescott's going yonder. And that's it. It's a peyote dream.
It was Aaron Rodgers. So he went off to one of his Hiawatha, whatever that stuff's called, retreats, and he had this vision.
So pizza before bed is what happened. Pizza before bed, and somebody woke up the next morning and was like, okay, this is what I think is happening. Interestingly enough, and it fits the theme of the show. So I think we're going to start with the Ravens. We were talking about that because the Bills play the Ravens. We're already talking about the Steelers. So as we look to the Steelers for 2024, I think a lot of that confusion around the quarterback situation. I mean, TJ Watt is TJ Watt. I think the big question there is, can he stay healthy for an entire season? Or at least, you know, he hasn't missed games every season, but he seems to get injured and has to play through pain and suffering, which I know a lot of players do, but his seem to be a little more, I don't know, frequent than a lot of other guys. That team is solid. Their head coach is solid. Mike Tomlin, to me, is one of the greatest head coaches in NFL history. I know that there's like people don't like the fact that he is 9-7 or, you know, 9-whatever every year and has challenges. The fact is he's never had a losing season as a head coach. But it all comes back to the quarterback. Russell Wilson, is there gas? What was the Russell Wilson Denver debacle, Russell Wilson, or was it the Denver Broncos, right? Like, what are we going to get from Russell Wilson, I think, is the entire question that's going to come from that team this year.
Well, I got to say, I mean, he clashed with the head coach in Denver, and I don't think you go to a place like Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin's personality and expect it to be different than it was in Denver. Jerry, remind me who the Denver head coach is, but you're walking into Sean Payton. I mean, to me, those are kind of like personalities. Do it my way. Do it the Pittsburgh way. Do it my way, Bronco way, whatever you call it. And I don't see that being awesome for Russell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you get? You got a guy that obviously has a tremendous past, Super Bowl champion, MVP type guy, right? Who over the last three seasons has underperformed. I don't think he's been at a grade of over 80% on PFF scale in the last three seasons. So you go with him, who has been known to be a divisive kind of person, a personality, you know, has his own office in the stadium, ridiculous stuff like that. Or you go with Justin Fields, who obviously is a much more explosive, younger athlete, but as far as passing the football on a consistent basis is almost, I guess you could say, lost. So, I mean, where do you go to? I would have to think that in the end, it's probably Russell, but you never know.
Yeah.
And while we don't play them this year, right? I'm still here for a quarterback problem in our conference, right? And then maybe not entirely in our division, although there's arguably one or two. I do like it. I do like the uncertainty for them.
Yeah, when you look at the divisions and kind of and contrasting them, as like I said, we're going to do over the next couple of weeks versus the AFC East, and who we're going to expect to kind of come out of those divisions is going to, you know, lead a lot into who the Bills potentially, if the Bills make the playoffs, which we expect them to, will be playing. The Steelers were 10-7 last year with Kenny Pickett as their quarterback. Now, clearly, you've got to believe in any way, shape, or form that Russell Wilson is an upgrade over Kenny Pickett. However, did you guys see the breakdown with Sean Payton last year, like where Sean Payton was off to the side? Basically, Russell Wilson is standing there. I think there was a receiver next to him, and Sean Payton was just finger in his face yelling at him. Like, just – and obviously there was no audio. And Russell was just kind of like taking it. Okay. I can only begin to imagine as a fan what that conversation was. I'm sure there's speculation – you know, Sean wanted something done a certain way, wanted him to take the bull by the horns, you know, have a grow a pair type conversation. You guys have been on the field. I'm just wondering if you guys have a little more of like, oh, I know what that's about.
Well, I think the biggest thing with Russell was, if I remember correctly, there was a lot of audibilization. There was a lot of changing of plays. There was a lot of pushback from Russell as opposed to what was called. Peyton's not that guy. Peyton is a Parcells guy, right? And, you know, his way or the highway. And Russell was a guy that did a lot of audibling and things like that. And that's where that drives Peyton insane. I mean, we're not playing well. I'm calling plays and the quarterback is changing the play every other chance he gets. That causes issues. But, you know, I think that the biggest thing with the Steelers experiment is Tomlin has a really good rapport with his players. Mm-hmm. Tomlin has a way to gain respect without that kind of forceful, you know, that forceful nature that you see from a Sean Payton or a Parcells or those types of guys, Belichick. So if there's a person that can reclaim or get, you know, Russell in a reclamation type situation, I think it is Mike Tomlin. Their biggest issue with the Steelers last year was their offensive line. They got rid of three linemen from last year's team. They drafted three new offensive linemen. Two of the three are expected to start. By the end of the year, they figure all three will probably start. So there's that aspect as well. But again, when you look at the Steelers, you think of one thing, to me anyway, and one thing only, especially since Roethlisberger's gone, and that's the defense. I mean, they only gave up 324 points last year.
Yep.
While that wasn't tops in the league, it was pretty damn close. And you have to have a defense like that to win 10 games with an offense the way it performed under not only Trubisky, but also Mason Rudolph. So, I mean, I think that the Steelers have a chance as long as TJ Watt and Highsmith are at the edge, and you got Cameron Hayward at nose, tremendously productive defense. Your offense is always going to have a chance.
For sure. Well, that's curious, Jerry, because if Kenny Pickett was the quarterback and they were 10-7 last year and you had offensive line problems and you fortified the offensive line, why are you getting rid of Kenny Pickett? Right. Well, you fixed one problem and you added another, banking on the idea that Tomlin and Russell Wilson can get along while you bring Justin Fields up to speed. That's a head scratcher.
But John, you know as well as I do. I mean, how many times did they sit in a meeting room last year and there were plays to be made and Trubisky didn't make them? You know, your offensive line's struggling, you get an opportunity to make a play, and the quarterback can't make the throw or doesn't see the wide open receiver or doesn't make the right decision with the football. That to me is why that move was made. You know, Pittsburgh historically has always had strong offensive lines. I'm not worried about the development there, but yes, this whole quarterback situation is pretty precarious.
Yeah, it's definitely the most interesting part of this team story. I'm not going to get into projection as far as how the teams are going to finish until the end. After we talk about the other three teams, then we'll kind of do a collective where do each of us think that, like, how the teams are going to finish. What's wildly interesting to me, and I kind of put it in the show summary, and it'll be there for the next couple weeks, is how good all of the divisions in the AFC seem to be. It was like the Buffalo Bills and the AFC West. Right. There was like, oh man, the AFC West is super good. And then you got the Bills who are killing everybody. And now it seems like even the dog teams, and what I mean by dog is like the teams that aren't so good, when you think of the Chargers, well, now they've got Harbaugh. It's like, yeah. Okay.
But right.
The East is good. The West is good. The North is good. The South is good. They're all good. But moving on, let's transition to the Ravens team. Now, this Ravens team didn't do a whole lot in free agency. Obviously, Lamar Jackson had a killer year. He was, I believe, the league MVP for last year. The biggest thing to swallow is going to be the fact that they picked up Derrick Henry. And this is the one team the Bills are going to face from the North, provided they make the playoffs. They might play another one of these teams, but the Ravens are they're going to play them. So, John, real quick, thoughts on the Ravens?
The Ravens always remind me of the Steelers, right? I mean, black and blue defense, they're just tough as hell.
Yep.
It shows, right? I think they were the number one defense in the AFC last year, if I'm not mistaken. Fewest points allowed. So, I like what the Ravens did, fortifying the offensive line. I've always loved Lamar Jackson, going all the way back to when he was at Louisville. It was Louisville. Mm-hmm. And, he's a scary quarterback, right, with the number of yards that he had last year. I think they're a real threat. And their level of consistency and the fact that they made it to the AFC Championship last year, that really concerns me. I think they're the elite team in that division, as long as their defense continues to produce. I like the Derrick Henry pickup. He's an older guy now, and I know they're gonna have to use him situationally and make sure that they get the best productivity out of him.
Mm-hmm. You're right. I mean, when the season starts, Derrick Henry will be 30 years old. But last year, he had the second best season of his career grade wise by PFF. He graded over 90%, and showed he's got quite a bit left as far as ability to run the football. This is a scary running team. I mean, you look at this team, you add Derrick Henry, then you add Lamar Jackson. His rushing grade was almost 91%, had 975 rushing yards that helped him get his second MVP. But again, it's funny. We put so much emphasis on Lamar Jackson as a passer, and we say that he's not good or he's inconsistent. Well, the weakness of this football team last year was their wide receiver room. I mean, other than Zay Flowers, they did have OBJ, but he was hurt quite a bit. Bateman hasn't really developed very much. Hardy's more of a return guy. So when you look at this team, we want to talk about the quarterback so much in the passing game, mm-hmm. when really the wide receiver room is incredibly weak. And John, you made a great point earlier. You talked about fewest points allowed, number one in the league. I think it was 280 points allowed last year, and they scored 483. A plus minus, I think, of a plus of 203 points. I mean, that's huge.
They have to fill that Patrick Queen void, though, right?
Right, they do. But again, I think this is a team like Pittsburgh that has an elite head coach. I think that John Harbaugh is one of the best in the league. They will play good defense. They did re-sign Matabuke to a four-year contract, $98 million. He had 13 sacks inside last year as a defensive tackle. They're going to play defense. They always play these. They always find pieces because they play Ravens defense. It's the way it is. Everybody thought it was going to fall apart when Ray left and when Suggs left and when Ed Reed left, and they're still playing at that level. So
it reminds me a little bit of Belichick's Patriots defenses, right? Plug and play guys, some role players that just work within the system and do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, again, sure. Another team's got a little bit of offensive line struggles. They lost three of their starters. They did draft Rosengarten from Washington, a tackle that I got to see live, who's a good player. I'm sure they'll get that right as well. But I'm with you, John. I'm with you, Joe. This is the cream of the AFC North.
Yeah, they were 13-4 last year. It's hard to pick a winner, and I'm going to ask us to do it, like pick, kind of place them. As I said, when we get through the last two here, it's funny to me. Did either of you block for Antoine Smith, or was he after you?
We both did.
Oh, no, we both did.
Antoine, Derrick Henry, and this is just sidebar. Derrick Henry, I know I'm not talking about running style. Like, I know Antoine looked different when he ran, but he was also a big dude, 6'2", 6'3", burly, gigantic, super fast. And there's aspects of their game that, like, Derrick Henry reminds me of Antoine Smith. Antoine just didn't have quite the success that Derrick has getting through, like, maybe with vision, getting through the holes and, like, breaking off those big runs. But it's just, Derrick Henry's a menace. Antoine Smith was a menace. They're just big old boys like that.
Antoine, as big as Antoine was, he probably came up to Derrick Henry's belly button.
You ever see any of his high school film? Holy moly.
I mean, the biggest running back I've ever seen in my life in person was Eddie George.
You never met Christian Okoye?
Well, I met Okoye, but Eddie George was a foot taller. I was in training camp with Christian Okoye.
Oh my God. Eddie George was a nightmare.
Foot taller than Okoye. Yeah. And I remember when him and McNair came out of the locker room in Tennessee, I was like, those are two of the largest individuals at skill positions I've ever seen in my life.
Right. That's right. That's right. And that's totally true. So let's move on just based on seeding from last year. So Ravens, Browns, Steelers, Bengals. We did the Steelers. We did the Ravens. Let's go to the Browns. The Browns next. So the Browns are an interesting story. We talked a little bit off air about the fact that they started four or five different quarterbacks last year. I've got the list of guys. I can read them off to you, but most of us aren't going to know who they are. Any PJ, whatever his last name was. Like, Joe Flacco was kind of that story.
JP Lossman. Oh no, PJ something. I'm sorry to everybody listening to bring that up. Like a few people are driving into bridge abutments right now. Oh my God, he said it out loud.
Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and PJ Walker, and Jeff Driscoll. So five is what you're looking at.
The Driscoll one I was never going to get, but Dorian Thompson-Robinson from UCLA. I think they are still in a very challenging situation with quarterbacking, right? Deshaun Watson, between everything that's been going on, you know, with him and his personal life, it's just a weird situation. And I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Jerry, Joe, you can tell me where you see it. I mean, they've historically played pretty darn good defense. I think they lost a running back last year. I can't recall which one.
They lost Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt. Yep. And he had off the field problems too. Mm-hmm. So it just seems to me, you know, I hate that whole, you know, the Browns will be the Browns kind of thing, but they figure out a way to get into their own way. So
let's be honest. I mean, Joe Flacco saved their season last year. They were 11-6 last year because of Joe Flacco. That was the reason. So to your
14 point, touchdowns, seven INTs, I think, and he performed admirably well. But I mean, you can't look at that as your future.
But no, see, I look at them. You say Joe Flacco saved their season. To me, it was a very similar situation to the Steelers. You bring in a veteran quarterback that's won a Super Bowl that can make the plays when they're readily available, mm-hmm. and you play behind the number one defense, you know, one of the top defenses in the league, and probably the number one pass rush as far as getting home defensive fronts in the league with the reigning 2023 defensive player of the year with Myles Garrett.
With Aaron Donald being retired, Myles Garrett's probably the best defensive player in football.
Right. I think Myles Garrett has been the best defensive player for the last couple of years. I think Aaron Donald was on a pretty fast decline, as most undersized guys at that position do.
But it's like old Jordan. You can never say that old Jordan wasn't the best basketball player in the league. Like, you had to say it. That's kind of how what it was with Aaron Donald.
You know, and the secondary that they have is incredibly deep. You know, they've got Denzel Ward. They've got Greg Newsom. I mean, they've got talent everywhere on defense. Everywhere. Now all of a sudden you add Jerry Jeudy, you trade for Jerry Jeudy and extend him. So you get him happy and content to be in Cleveland. Hopefully, you know, they say time heals all wounds, right? And maybe this is the year that we finally, you know, the Deshaun finally plays more football than talking about what he did in the past, and he's healthy. Obviously offensive line's got to be right for him to stay healthy, but you know, this is a scary good football team. I mean, if something happens here and there with the Ravens, it would not shock me if the Browns are up there for contention of the North when the season's over.
I mean, I feel like we're going to pick them all. Like, all of them are going to be 9-7. Like, all four teams, 9-7. Well,
they'd have to be 9-8.
Or 9-8, my bad. 9-8, yeah. So it's just it's just interesting, like, just how tight this group seems like it could be, to your point, Jerry. Moving on to the last team in this division, the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the good news, Joe Burrow is healthy. Hopefully Joe Burrow can stay healthy. If he does, obviously that means a lot for this Bengals football team. The biggest thing for me about the Bengals is Zach Taylor, much like Andy Reid, just seems to have Sean McDermott's number, just kind of one of those things. They lost Joe Mixon, and if I'm not mistaken, they are returning all three of their wide receivers, Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Boyd is gone. Did Boyd leave? Jerry?
Well, Tyler Boyd had more catches last year than T. Higgins.
Boyd left in free agency.
Boyd Johnson. So they're not returning all three of them. They're just returning Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. That's right.
Yes.
So Jerry, give us a little bit of a breakdown on the 9-8 Bengals who had an injured quarterback last year.
Well, again, I mean, this team comes down to Joe Burrow, right? If Joe Burrow is healthy, and you know, there's some people that say that his wrist will never be completely right. The injury that he had, the ligament tear that he had, but you know, some were even saying that he's learning a new way to release the football and those types of things. But Burrow's a gamer, and Burrow gets after. Burrow, to me, his comp is, and I'm going to go back and show my age, he's like a Joe Montana. I mean, he finds a way to win football games when he's on the field, right? And you know, you look at an offense that when he's humming along, you got T. Higgins to get the ball to, Chase to get the ball to, and then also they make the move and they move on from Joe Mixon at running back, and they signed Buffalo's own Zach Moss in the offseason, and they're also going to have Chase Brown there as well. So kind of maybe they're going to the running back by committee. But, you know, this is a team that could very well win over 10 games. You know, offensive line-wise, they've settled in quite well. They've got Orlando Brown and some others. They got Kappa. They got Trent Brown they picked up this offseason as well. So this is a very, very talented football team, a scary football team. Your boy, the head coach, Zach Taylor, Norman, Oklahoma alum, son-in-law to the former Super Bowl winning and Green Bay head coach, Mike Sherman. I expect Joe Burrow to play even better this year because his new quarterback coach is a guy named Brad Craigthorpe, son of one Steve Craigthorpe, who used to be OC and quarterback or was quarterback coach in Buffalo for a few years with Greg Williams, came to Tulsa as the head coach. And Brad was actually our quarterback at Holland Hall here in Tulsa. I coached those teams. So I expect him to play even better than he did.
It seems like everything comes back to Oklahoma and Arizona. Is that true? I got to come up with some like Buffalo, New York stuff so I can pull in like Syracuse alone.
The only thing I know about Buffalo, John, is Joe continually bitching about the waterfront. You know, that's the only thing I know.
Can't stop, won't stop.
I love Joe bitching about the waterfront because I agree. However, I would say that you could strategically keep some of the derelict buildings as, you know, kind of historic landmarks that shouldn't prevent you from improving your waterfront, which brings me to the Cincinnati Bengals, right? So I'm not as optimistic as Jerry. I think, you know, divisionally, I think they're going to have trouble with the Browns and they're going to have trouble with the Ravens. I'm concerned about Joe Burrow, the throwing motion. He's changing his throwing motion. I mean, how many different ways are there, right? I mean, it's quick release, slow release, what type of follow through you have. I don't know. I'm not sold on Cincinnati. I like Joe Burrow. I liked him in college. I like him as a pro. And, you know, Joe, you say, well, he's got McDermott's number. I think they take a little bit of a pause this year, frankly.
Well, they were fourth in the division last year.
But this is and this is a team that won nine games. I know, but Browning is their quarterback.
My point is take a pause from 2 years ago when Burrow took him all the way. Right.
Three years ago. I think it was 3 years
ago. Was it three? Dear God, I'm old.
We all three of us are old, but yeah. Mm-hmm. you might not be wrong. Interestingly enough, getting back, finishing thought on the waterfront. Here's a name from the past. Jim Brinson from Empire Sports Network of all people. Replied to my tweet and was like, man, 15 years ago or 20 years ago when I was there, I was making fun of the waterfront like all the time. It's still like that. And I was like, yep, it's still like that. So nothing changes here, Jim. Nothing at all. So it's interesting when you look at this, and we're going to have this trouble, I think, with all three divisions, the other two when we talk about them next week and then the week after that, leading into training camp, which I meant to announce at the top of the show. Training camp is pretty much 1 month away. So we've got 1 month before training camp. Don't wish your summer away, but 1 month before training camp begins. But if you're going to look at these teams, and I'll let Jerry go first, then John, then me. But if you're going to look at these teams, you're going to basically just not predict their records, but predict where they're going to place, right? So effectively, how are you ranking them? How do you have them finishing this year, Jerry?
I think the Ravens and the Browns are slugging it out for the division championship, for the division win. I think that I think that if Joe Burrow stays healthy, we could once again have three teams out of the AFC North go to the playoffs.
Wow.
And I believe this very well possibly could be the year that Mike Tomlin finally does not go 500 or better.
You stole my thunder.
Now, if Joe Burrow goes back to being injured Joe Burrow, we very well could have the same finish we had last year, which was Ravens first, Browns, then the Steelers. But I think it's going to be hard for the Steelers. I think they're still in a pretty significant rebuild. Their defense will keep them in a lot of games, but you can't have every year have a minus 20 on points for and points against and expect to get a wild card berth. You know, they found a way last year. I think it'll be a little bit harder this year.
John?
Yeah, I honestly, I'm angry. Oh, I don't want to talk.
So you had Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers?
Cincinnati.
And then I have Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers, yes.
Got it. Okay, perfect.
Yep. And I agree wholeheartedly. I find this will be the year. Tomlin has the losing record. I don't think they fire him. I think they should keep him without a franchise quarterback. The Ravens are the elite team in this division. Jerry says slug it out with Cleveland. It'll look like a slug out in the middle of the season, but I think that Baltimore takes it by 2.5 games at least at the end. And then you have Cincinnati in third. Not really nipping at the heels too closely with Cleveland. And yeah, I'm going to have losing season for Mike Tomlin. First time ever.
You know, the thing I like real quick, Joe, before you thing I like real quick about the addition of Derrick Henry in Baltimore is it really opens up a lot more play action for Lamar Jackson. And I think he throws play action incredibly well. You know, it's one thing I really like about that addition.
Yeah. John, would you like to answer that question? Andy's asking what bourbon John is drinking.
Andy, actually, this is a rye and it was a gift. It's a Whistle Pig because I'm down. I'm almost out of my Widow Jane, which is my favorite. And I looked at my bourbon cabinet and I was like, what? Did I have guests over? I don't remember. But I guess that's the story of bourbon, right? You have a couple and you don't remember anything. Hopefully one day I'll be having it at Pops, which is my cousin's restaurant in Canton, Georgia. If you're in Canton, Georgia, north of Atlanta, stopping at Pops. Andy Palermo, who is my direct cousin, and his wife Amber opened up a little.
Are we getting paid for this, Reed?
We are getting paid. I am going to hug you out. Look, they sent me gear. I got to plug it. Andy's a great guy.
Well done.
Great food. Go to Canton, Ohio. Go to Pops.
All right. So I get to wrap this puppy
up. Canton, Georgia, not Ohio. Canton,
Georgia. I said
you Ohio. You already got fired.
You go to Canton, Ohio, you get to see Thurman.
Yes. Anyways. And Bruce and much, Ralph.
Much like you guys, I have the Ravens finishing first in this division for sure. I don't think it's going to be close. And by that, I mean three games separating like it was last year. I do not have the Browns finishing second. For me, I just don't believe in Deshaun Watson. The hard part for me about Deshaun Watson isn't his history. From a personal standpoint, it's literally since he got to Cleveland, it's almost like his head and his heart have not been in it. Basically, he's just wanting to cash checks. And I'm going to say,
you know that
there's a feel about the way he looks when he's on the field, when he's playing the game, in his press conferences. He just doesn't, there's a fire that's missing. I'm not saying he can't regain it. It just doesn't feel like it's there. And I'm going to say something that might be wildly controversial, and I apologize to everybody that this might upset. I never found Deshaun Watson being that great when he was a Houston Texan. So there's an aspect of when he got signed by the Browns for $250 million guaranteed, I just was beside myself.
I totally agree.
I'm like, with he's you. Not that good. And here we are kind of finding that out, that he isn't really that good. So I got the Browns probably finishing last. Not probably. That is my pick for last, to the chagrin of all of my friends in Columbus, Ohio, that are huge Browns fans. But Ravens for me, Bengals actually second. Steelers, I'm not going to predict that Mike Tomlin's going to have his first losing season and then the Browns. So Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns. So to me, there's an aspect of the division this year for the North is going to make sense, meaning historically. This is kind of how the division has looked over the last, decade. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. I like it, Joe. I like it. That.
Cool. I can't believe I didn't get more pushback on the Deshaun Watson.
I'm changing my ways, Joe. Although I will say this, would you be excited to go into the arena every day knowing you're going to get absolutely freaking obliterated by everybody? Because you have an addiction to massage parlors?
Yeah, I mean, there's an aspect of I don't think he gets asked that every day anymore. And B, there's if I'm not mistaken, they can. I specifically remember Burchtel, right? So when Burchtel was there, and I've met Burchtel, and John and I have talked about, he's an amazingly hilarious guy, Scott Burchtel. But I specifically remember every time things got tough during the drought when Burchtel was still there, question would come to the quarterback and J.P. Losman, Trent Edwards, you name it, you'd see him do this. And look to Scott, and Scott would tell them if they could answer the question or not. So I know that there's an aspect of, like, they can control the questions that are coming, who's asking them, and stuff like that. So in my opinion, they can shelter him from a lot of that stuff. Go ahead, Jerry.
To me, the biggest issue with the Browns and the Deshaun Watson trade is not the fact of Deshaun and his ability at quarterback. It's the fact that, once again, they had no first-round picks this year. They only had six picks in the draft, and their first choice is in the third round. So if you want to gut your football team in a day and age of salary cap management with the quarterback situation the way it is, and John and I talked about that on Thursday.
Yep.
If you want to gut your football team, then get rid of your first couple of rounds for 2-3 years in a row and see how bad you get and how quickly you get bad.
Yep, for sure. This was a fun exercise. I'm excited to look at the AFC South next week and then the AFC West the week following that. And then after that, should be us looking forward to training camp. But any final thoughts just on the AFC North before I get us out of here?
I think, pretty, you could say, and we talked about it off air, the AFC in general, all divisions are tough, but I think this AFC North is as tough as they get.
Yeah, for sure. John?
I'm predicting more of a fade. I think the Baltimore Ravens take it. I'm with Joe. He agreed with me. Two and a half games behind, you'll find Cincinnati, or you said Cincinnati.
Second, yep.
I really find that Baltimore is the true menace in the division. And I think the other three, they're gonna find some struggles.
Agreed. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been tuned into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network, powered by Believe, now that we've made that official. We are 1 month away from training camp, and it is so good to have you. Stick with us this Tuesday on the beat. We got sports anchor from Channel 2 WGRZ, John Scott, on the program. Excited to have him. But for me, for John, for Jerry, we appreciate you guys. Love you. Thanks for hanging out with us for a couple of minutes here on Sunday and on Monday if you're listening to this in podcast form. But for all of us, go Bills.
Go Bills.
From Canton, Georgia, remotely, go Bills.
Go Bills.